today on Real Radio.
A revival is when God's people gets up, they seek God's word again, and they determine to obey God. And listen, that's how you change a culture. That's how things happen. God wants to revive because he's loving. God wants to revive this nation.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack has a special message entitled God Calling, which is a celebration of America and how she was founded under God. It's also a recollection of America's founding fathers and their fight for liberty from British rule. But we can't look at the history of the U.S. without coming to one conclusion, that God, even in our decline as a moral Christian nation, still wants to do something very special with our country. Now, as we celebrate the 4th of July, it's important to remember that the birth of this great nation came at a very high price. Both men and women sacrificed their lives in the fight for freedom against tyranny and bondage. It truly is a miracle that America is one of the longest surviving democracies while under the same governing document, the U.S. Constitution. And that's a great reason to celebrate our liberties and our freedom. Today on day two of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that our founding fathers believed that freedom is only given by God, as it is revealed in Scripture. So it's important to know from where we come and where we're going as a nation to receive both God's blessing and his protection. And now, continuing his special message called God Calling, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
John Adams said, and I quote, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity." John Adams said this. "I will avow then, I then believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God." This is a founding father. Yet we have courts arguing with one another and arguing with us, stating, well, there's got to be a separation of church and state. Of course there's a separation of church and state. That came from Thomas Jefferson in a private letter to a pastor friend of his. It's not in any federal document. It's not in any government record. And that pastor was asking Thomas Jefferson, now that he was elected president, to remember that the state will never implement a church that is under state rule. Yes, a separation of church and state. The state shall not tell the church what to do. Separation. But that's not how it's spun on CNN today or in our courts. I believe God is asking the United States of America, no, I believe God is asking the Christian that we look back and remember where we've come from so that we might alter our course as a culture. And as a nation, where are we going? We've got to know where we've come from to see where we're going. That's why today in our public school system in this nation, and our college and universities, they will, listen, they will vehemently, in a very angry, ugly way, argue and demean and attack you. If you quote some of these quotes right here, they're going to accuse you of making it up. And yet it is absolute fact in the National Archives of America. You can go there and see them. But why is this being something that is in our culture today? Because listen, momentum is on their side. Revisionism is out there. People are changing history. That should be a wake-up call to you and I, that our history is so awesome as a nation. God having founded this country. And might I remind you again and again, if you have any doubts about what I'm saying, look again at the Mayflower Compact. I don't think you should be able to graduate from junior high without being able to quote that thing. It's only two paragraphs. But we wouldn't dare do that because it clearly addresses God and it clearly announces that the pilgrims came to propagate on this new land the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet it is our founding document for this nation. America needs to look back because, listen, if we don't look back, where are we going? If we're not looking at our founding and the importance of it. Where would we go if we were to guess? Well, you don't have to guess too much. Listen to this. America in its birthing, historically, factually, was that of like God bringing forth a newborn child. Again, a nation had never had what we had to start with. A nation had never seen God's intervention outside of Israel like we have. America became the wonder of the world, the hope to the nations, the most benevolent nation on earth. God in his kindness blessed us as the most wealthiest nation on earth. We helped other countries. When other countries were overrun by despots, they called America. And America responded. More blood has been shed by the American soldier on foreign soil to benefit others than any other nation on earth. Did you know that every year, all nations combined in their immigration records, more people apply to immigrate to the United States than all other nations of the world combined? Why? Because we still have the residual blessings of God. But if we have forgotten God in our culture, if our leaders have forgotten God, what does that mean? What would that look like? Well, let me see. I was in kindergarten or first grade. I don't remember exactly. But I do remember this. I remember going to public school, must have been kindergarten, and then first grade, we had prayer in public school when I was in K. And then the next year, there was no prayer, and then following, there were no more Bibles. Now, some of you are too young. You never had a Bible in your school, but some of us are old enough to have that. I remember when the astronauts were in crisis or when America was in crisis, even when Bible and prayer had been removed, we had teachers in the Orange County School District. They just said, we had principals that said everyone gathered to the, what they call the multi-purpose room in those days. And we prayed because our astronauts were looking like they were going to be lost in space. And America prayed. Can you imagine a principal of a school today calling all students into the gym to pray? Well, listen to this. After prayer and the Bible was removed, I quote here, teenage pregnancies increased 187% in the following 15 years after prayer and Bible was removed. According to the Center for Disease and Control and the Department of Health and Human Services, which reported that sexually transmitted diseases increased 226% in the 12 years following Bible and prayer removed from the public square. You say, well, what's the correlation? I'm just giving you data here. Correlate it yourself. Professor William Janes, I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right, Janus, doesn't matter. The professor is at California State University, Long Beach, stated in a 2004 paper, quote, the decisions by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1962 and in 1963 to remove both Bible and prayer from our public schools may have proven to be the most spiritually significant event in our nation's history in the last five decades. Since 1963, there have been five negative developments in the nation's public schools since the removal of Bible and prayer. He lists one, academic achievement has plummeted, including record low SAT scores. Two, he cites increased rate of out-of-marriage births. Three, increase in illegal drug use. Four, increase in juvenile crime. Five, the deterioration of school behavior. Lawlessness in the schools. Having metal detectors to get into school. Having to park a police car on campus to promote safety. In an FBI study, the FBI concluded that the rise of violent crimes and murder in America says that the areas most prone to violent crimes and or murder are within particular cities of certain demographics. Listen to this. The more liberal the politics of a certain city or demographic they're talking about, the more prone it was to violent crime and or murder. The more liberal the control, the more violent the community. That's a radical statement, right? Do you think that's radical? But have you stopped to hear where crime is coming out of? In America, where it's eat, drink, and be merry, and let's just be whatever, we have the highest rates of crime. Listen, people will always ask me, those of you who are visiting, those of you who have been here, you've heard this 1,000 times, oh, I want to go with you guys to Israel, but is it safe? I said, absolutely not. Of course it's not safe. You've got to drive from Chino Hills to LAX. Once you get to Israel, you're safe. Think about that. America has forgotten God. And I believe God is allowing America to be troubled. I believe God is allowing America to be troubled, not to see what Brown will do or Trump will do. I think God is waiting to see what his church will do. Does she even care enough to pray? Does she even care enough to get involved? When I look across this great nation, yes, but look, I was born and raised in California. I'm from San Diego. I love this state. I love this beautiful state, but boy, are we being led by mostly loonies, huh? Have you ever asked yourself this question? How did they get there? I ask it all the time. It's funny, because I can never find one person who said they voted for Jerry Brown. They won't admit it. How'd these people get there? How these people get in power and they become enemies of police and policing and laws, and the U.S. Supreme Court issues a law, a good law, but California won't obey it. What's happened here? How do they get in those places of power? I'll tell you how. People voted them in. You say, Pastor, don't you lay that on me. Don't you lay that on me, Pastor. I didn't even vote. You're the problem. It's you I'm talking about. Apathy. That's how they got into power. Apathy. That's how crazies get into power. Sir Edmund Burke in England said, all that evil needs to do to triumph is for good men to do nothing. The Christian needs to, I don't know what, unplug DirecTV, throw the phone away, get off the computer, I don't know what, but get up and get involved in your PTA. Get involved in your school board. Run for mayor. Get involved, Christian. Amen. You love people. You love God. You care what's best. Get involved. You care. Get involved. How has this great state become what it is? California. California has become the world's leader in pornographic production. Then it's no wonder that out of the 747,000 plus registered sex offenders in the United States of America, California, congratulations, over 100,000 of them live in this state. I'm praying that God would send a revival starting in California. If God is going to start a revival, he's got to start somewhere. How about all the way down in the southern, western tip of the nation? California. What if there was a revival that started in... No, not just California. What if there was a revival that started in Southern California? No, not just Southern California. What if God started a revival in Chino Hills? He's going to start somewhere, and it begins to spread the entire nation. And what happens? It means that God's people, a revival is when God's people gets up, they seek God's word again, and they determine to obey God. And listen, that's how you change a culture. That's how things happen. God wants to revive because he's loving. God wants to revive this nation. I pray he does it. I don't know if you saw this week in the news in Arkansas. The sweet people of Arkansas voted and decided to put 10 Commandments granite monument at their state capitol. And they put it up this week. And in less than 24 hours, some lunatic screaming out the window of his car, freedom, freedom, drove into the Ten Commandments and, and knocked it down. And by the way, this turns out this guy's got a history of attacking religious symbols in America. But he thought he was exercising his freedom. I don't know what led him to do that exactly, but I know this, that the state of Arkansas, they're just going to put it right back up. And that's what they should do. But if you notice, listen, there are those defending him saying he was just expressing his First Amendment rights. I call that lawlessness. I tell you what, just for fun, somebody, can you imagine if that was put back up and they and it was the Quran? You think somebody would knock that thing over? Not a chance. They'd be afraid of getting their head cut off. I believe that there's something spiritual to this. By the way, doesn't it remind you of another set of commandments that were broken in half? Coming down Mount Sinai? What would possess a person? A godless age. Our cities are beginning a war among themselves. Jesus said, watch out, in the last days, ethnic groups will rise up and attack ethnic groups. And that's exactly what's happening. We need the gospel to go out to America again. I was talking to a friend of mine this week, back in Washington, D.C., this morning, actually, early this morning. And, you know, America, there's people in America, they want to stop what's going on in Washington. And when you read the article, what is it they want to stop? I don't know if you know this or not, but there are Bible studies taking place once a week all over the capital of our nation and in the White House. And they're inviting pastors from across America to teach Bible studies in the White House and in the Capitol. I'm waiting for my invitation. I want to go. I want to go. And there are people all upset about that. Have they forgotten that it's Thomas Jefferson that hosted a Bible study in our nation's capital? That he brought in to have worship? He brought in the United States Marine Corps band for worship? That would be worship, to have the Marines. Can you imagine? Jefferson did that. And I love it. But I believe God is asking America to call out to him. I believe God is trying to get our attention. And I believe he has started gently. I don't believe God brought upon us the 9/11 attack of those lunatics in New York City. But God will use it to speak to us. Issues of drought or flood or violence, God wants to be speaking to us. And he's waiting. And again, he's waiting for the church to pray and to ask him, God, what would you have us to do? I'm going to show you a couple of slides. George Washington, praying. Did you know the history of the United States is a history lesson in prayer? I love this picture. This is, I have a litho of this in my office. Got it at Valley Forge. But this is something you may or may not know. It's kind of fun. The painter of this, do you see that big tree where see the horse's steam coming out of his mouth? Do you see the big tree right there that's in front of him? Anyone? Class? Yes. Do you see the funny little tree with the odd bend in it? Yes. Okay, the painter, I believe it's Arnold Freiberg, I'm not sure, but the painter did not want to put the face of the man that belongs in that little open space. It's a statement. There's an opening. Did you know there was a man there? This is George Washington praying in private, asking God to intervene at Valley Forge. If you're a detective, you'd say, how do we know if he was praying in private? That's a good question, right? Because there was a spy there. There was a spy there spying for the British. His name was Isaac Potts. He was following Washington, followed him into the woods undetected. Isaac Potts starts listening to what Washington was praying. Let me see the next picture. These are kind of tough to see. That's in Pennsylvania, and that's Washington praying. You say, how do you know it's Washington praying? Maybe he's just taking a break. Because the marquee says he's praying. Next slide. Okay, this is going to be tough, but do you see? Okay, here's another rendering. Do you see behind the tree? There's a man peeking out from behind the tree. Can you guys see that? To the left, Washington's right, our left. See him? He's got a hat on. That's Isaac Potts. That artist put him in. Why? Here's why. I quote from Isaac Potts. I tied my horse to a sapling and went quietly into the woods. And to my astonishment, I saw the great George Washington on his knees alone, with his sword on one side and his cocked hat on the other. He was at prayer to the God of the armies, beseeching to interpose with his divine aid, as I was ye crisis in the cause of the country, of humanity, and of the world. Such a prayer I never heard from the lips of man. I left him alone praying. I went home, and he did what any guy does, told my wife. I saw a sight and heard today that I never saw or heard before, and just related to her what I had seen and heard and observed. We never thought a man could be a soldier and a Christian, but if there is one in the world, it is Washington. She also was astonished. We thought it was the cause of God in America could prevail. Guess what happened to him? He wound up changing his loyalties and became an American in that moment, no longer being a loyalist to Britain. Washington's prayer. Washington prayed. You're going to tell me that we can't pray? Listen, this is America. Who, you can't pray in a public place? Who says? I don't care who says. This is America. Washington prayed. Look, if I get arrested and thrown into court, I don't have any defense but this. Washington prayed. I can't say anything else other than that. Christians, we need to pray. We need to stop being so polite. I don't mean be mean. I don't mean be rude. But we have somehow elevated that we're supposed to walk around apologizing for everything and being polite about everything when we need to stand up in love, speak the truth, and say, you know what, we draw the line. This is as far as we go. From this moment on, we will name the name of Christ and we will pray wherever we want to pray, because God is in heaven. God is the one. He's the ruler. God is the lawgiver. Who could stop a man from praying? I believe God is calling America to cry out to him. You're going to celebrate. You're going to have the day off. You're going to go to the beach. You're going to go to the park. You're going to have fun at home. You're going to, God bless you. Do what John Adams said. Have a party, have a parade, shoot off fireworks, and have a great time. But remember, John Adams assumed that we would all be doing this because we would be grateful to God. No other nation in the world can boast this. God has blessed this country.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God Calling. Thanks for listening, and have a wonderful and safe 4th of July celebration. God Calling is a special message honoring the birth of America, the freedom to worship Christ, and the call to humbly and gratefully pray for God to heal our broken and divided nation. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Here at Real Radio, we understand how tough it is to keep growing and maturing in Christ in a world filled with so many demands and distractions. So as we pause to celebrate our God-given freedom as a nation, we can also celebrate our freedom in Christ and get to know Him better. To do this, we want to recommend the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. We've got messages, devotionals, how-tos of Christianity, all kinds of great things on there, all accessible in one quick and easy spot. It's a great resource for you to grow in your faith. Go to your app store and download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.